All right. So what happened to you? You got a date?
So maybe.
Nice.
I just got a call. October 10th.
Yeah.
May or may not be hanging out with a certain shorty.
I think nice. you might have a date with a certain other person.
Who's For date real? Who's another person?
Wow.
Wow. That's, what an
there's
asshole.
Two friendship right there.
I don't get it. Oh, October 10th when you come in. Damn it. Yeah, I got you. All right. Okay. Apparently,
he's here for 24 hours.
I don't have a date with a female, so I will be spending that day with you.
He's literally here for 24 hours. You'll be fine.
Yep.
This is a once in a lifetime thing. I'll talk to him if I need to.
Nah, it's a once in a lifetime.
It's not the last time I've had to fight somebody, specifically a girl, over a guy, but whatever.
Nah, I'll be fine. I got it.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. I got confidence in myself.
I know you do. All right. Well, this is a good
you
time to
you in that truck, you know, nothing can stop you guys.
Nothing can.
Oh, is that what you guys are going to do? Are you going to go sit in the back of the truck?
No. But okay. No. That's not a date. Also, again, that is not a date. That's me hanging out with a girl.
Right.
Like talking to her. A date is when you go and do something.
All right, guys. So I hope you've enjoyed this kind of long-winded approach to Alfie's love life, which he, by the way, has mentioned multiple times that he's not going to talk about on this podcast anymore.
You guys talk about it. Also, I didn't know it was going to be like the first 10 minutes of that one podcast.
Okay. Let's be fair. Alfie, we play board games. I mean, this is pretty much the most interesting thing that happens to any of us.
Yeah, and this is how people, they get hooked in, and then they don't realize that for the next 2 hours, it's all board games.
Exactly. I came here just for the Catan.
All right.
Oh, man.
Oh. What's up, everybody? This is Benz from www.dropthedice.com. And honestly, I kind of feel like we should just stop right now because I don't think it's going to get better than those last 20 minutes in this finishing joke by Rico here.
Thanks.
Anyways, Rico, you're over there now. You're our head of R&D and our East Coast correspondent. And you got Lady Wasman with you.
I do.
That's amazing. How's that going?
Well, I've infected her with fleas in the first week of her being here. So things are going pretty well.
It's got to be exciting to have. I know you've made friends, but I mean, to have that, you're a big family guy. That sense of family back with you has got to be huge.
Yeah, it is. All good things. So it's been awesome. So I
need to ask, are you running as much?
Yeah, I'm not running as much. last week I ran twice. So I ran 9 miles about last week. And this week I've gone to the gym once and I swam and worked out. So that sounds like I'm doing all right, doesn't it?
But nine miles in a week is pretty good. When was the last time you ran 9 miles in a week, Benz?
I did that 3 weeks ago, but I haven't done it since.
Oh, okay. 3 weeks ago. Yeah. It was a little cooler then. It's been over 100 degrees all week.
I hate this place so much. It is a soul-crushing hellhole that destroys your dreams.
And here I am considering moving back home.
Should totally do that. In fact, I talked to the landlord. Your place is up for rent. It's good.
Okay, perfect.
We could literally walk to your place.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it's disgusting.
It's a little over a quarter mile away.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So it would take us like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Max. If we're running, it takes like two.
Okay. Yeah, it would take about 5 minutes to get there, walk there.
That guy talking right now and the one who possibly might choose a girl over one of his really good friends.
It's not happening.
Is
loyal.
Alfie, our head tabletop editor, our man on the street, the guy who always has a bevy in his hand.
Cheers. How's
Alfie,
it going?
What's up, dude?
How you guys doing?
Good. Everybody seems to be in great spirits tonight, so hopefully this will be a nice, lively discussion.
It's because the spirits are flowing, am I right?
It is. So this is actually kind of going to be a celebration of Rico's coming nuptials. This whole idea was inspired by this fact that you are – I believe you're technically eloping still. The fact that you're not getting married in your hometown or kind of in –
Is that the definition of a wedding?
I think so.
I think it's called destination wedding these days.
Yeah. That's probably a better choice for it. But let's go with eloping. And not only are you...
Esther has to get every fashion term correct. I mean, come on.
Okay, so not only are you not getting married in like your hometown or where your family is, you guys are going across the sea, which is just kind of amazing and kind of this fantasy wedding that I can never be. But with that, and I know who you are, you're going to bring some board games with you.
Yeah, you bet.
So today we're going to talk to you a little bit about travel games, the kind of games that you want to take with you when you're traveling. I want to make sure that we don't mean filler games. And I'm hoping that this discussion won't lead us down this track of just small box things. You know, I think this is about games that will work for travel. So, you know, whether it's, oh, appealing to a wider demographic, maybe, considering on where you're going, if it's a game that's easily portable, it doesn't necessarily need to be filler. And I've got quite a varied list on my phone here, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First, let's talk about what we've been playing. So, Rico, I know Lady Wasman has been there, and you haven't mentioned anything. Have you? Did you go to game night these past 2 weeks?
The first week when she got here, we didn't go to game night. But while her friend was here, we did play a couple games. We played Codenames for most of the night, and then we also played Five Tribes, which was a surprisingly big hit. And this particular friend of Amanda, of Lady Wasman's, we had a previous game night back in Arizona, and we played Zombie 15 all night. She's kind of joined a couple game nights off and on. And
yeah, she's totally down to play.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure how much she was going to like Five Tribes. It's just a little bit more on the thinky side. People get really stuck in that game. But we finished the first game, and she was like, I'm going to go home and buy this.
Like, wow.
The first comment that she had about it, and I was like, sweet. So that was awesome, and I'm glad that it went so well. I think Lady Wasman really liked it. We're excited to try it with the expansion and excited to do the weird two-player variant that I think is going to get even more thinky because – you get two turns, you could vote or you bid twice. And so you kind of have double the thinking to do, but still is so much fun that we're going to try that. We've also played Zulkin a few times, I think specifically twice.
Okay.
We loved it. We really, really, really liked it.
Okay. So she fell in love with it just as much as you have.
Maybe just a hair less than I did, but I think that's because the second time we played, she was like, I want to do this different strategy, because one of the biggest gears on the board is centered around these blue skulls that you have to place on them, but it's hard to get the skulls. And in a two player, it just doesn't seem that viable. And to be honest, when we thought about it, I'm not sure if it's that viable for a four player game. And that's weird to have one of the biggest gears, what seems to be a central focus of the theme and of the game, to not really net you enough points that you're gonna like consider making that a part of your strategy every time. But anyways, it was cool that she went for it, but in that second turn, that second time we played, I don't think that it quite worked out how she wanted it to. So I think she had less fun than I did in the second time. Because in the second time, I was like, I'm going to take all my lessons from the first one and just optimize this. So I ended up winning, you know, handedly and doing quite well. So, but again, that was just because she was like, I'm going to go off the walls here and do something really, you know, different. It hits all the right notes for me, like the balance, the feel, the complexity, the decisions. It's great. Those two, that one and Five Tribes, I mean, are just for me kind of like perfectly designed games that hit all the right notes for me.
So are these games that are going to enter in your top 10 of all time, you think?
Maybe? Five Tribes, probably.
Okay. Awesome, man. I'm super excited to still play both, but Zulkin has always just been such a curiosity to me that I just haven't gotten around to.
Yeah, and it looks harder than it actually is. It's really not that hard.
I know. Have you played with the expansion yet to Zulkin?
No, I haven't.
Do you have it at the store that you can borrow?
Yeah, I do. I can borrow it.
Sweet.
It looks pretty neat. Everybody has, I think, secret objectives, and you get to be a part of like a tribe that has different powers, I believe, that you can trigger throughout the game.
Yeah.
Which I think sounds really good. There's something called the God Track in the game, and that's the overpowered mechanic in it. And that's what you need to go for when you play Zulkin, is the God Tracks. And from what I read, the expansion kind of makes that less of the dominant strategy, which is always good, I think, you know, if they can make things more balanced. Hopefully that'll mean the skulls are, you know, more viable as a strategy to do. So hopefully soon we're going to get to play that, because I know the guys haven't really played it at all, which is surprising. I'm hoping to get that and the expansion played soon.
Sweet. All right, Alfie, what about you? What do you got?
Question.
What have you been playing?
One of them I want to actually both of them I kind of want to talk about in travel games.
Okay.
As I don't know if we've played the part before. I played Catan with some friends from school.
Yeah.
They wanted to do that. I had expansion Seafarers and the Cities and Knights, I think it's called.
Did you take those with you?
I took them with me. We didn't play either of them because one of the girls had never played before. The other girl had like played once. And so I was like, we'll just do vanilla the first time. Hadn't played it in years. It was actually kind of fun. It's a game where I wouldn't want to play it at game night.
Yeah.
But hanging out with some friends, they were drinking wine. I guess they thought they were classy or something.
Wow.
You know, just playing Catan, and like the whole time we can have like good conversation.
Yeah.
And talk about some different stuff. So it was fun. It was a good time. It was a good night. But it's not like, you know, again, that's not a serious game I want to play on game night.
Yeah.
Because it's the thought process that goes into it is filler level, but that game takes way too long to be a filler. Yeah. So it's like,
is it longer than Machikoro?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Oh, dude, it's so much longer. How long?
That game can take forever. Between 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Dude, that's a normal game.
Because it just comes to the point where
I still have never played Catan, and I really don't have any desire to.
We used to do with our family, if like four people were playing, we'd play on the 5 to 6 player map. So it was bigger. So there's more options to move around. You're going to have, and so it becomes a shorter game because you can do more.
Yeah.
But on the small map with four people, it is brutal. There's a girl I felt so bad for. I completely like blocked her up. She could only go to these terrible spots.
Like the 11.
Yeah, 11s and 12s and stuff. And it was like, she needed to get to a port, but the only port that she could really theoretically get to was just on one tile. It wasn't even on a two-tile corner. So it was – I mean, that game can just be, like, very brutal and punishing, which makes it not fun for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons we just stopped playing it in our family was you get to a point where 30 minutes into the game, you know probably whether or not you're going to lose. And now you just have to keep rolling the dice every turn, even though you're never going to catch up.
I've heard that multiple times. That's kind of the game where people just won't even finish it.
Yeah, that's my
hope. It's going to be like, oh, we just stopped playing. I don't know. So-and-so is going
to
win.
Yeah, because you need to get to 10 points. Someone's up 8 and the next place has like 3, maybe 4. And you're like, okay, they're going to win. We don't care anymore. Fuck this game.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Catan or Machikoro?
To play it?
Yeah.
Machikoro. Okay. I'm biased because I just had a good experience with Catan, and Machikoro I'm just not good at. Yeah. I'm terrible at that game.
Imagine if you replaced every time that you played Machikoro with Catan. And how horrible that would be.
That's true. Machikoro at least has that time where you're like, Machikoro! Exactly. Which makes it fun.
So I know. So I literally have never played the game. Is there player interaction that's not blocking?
There's trading. You can trade.
Okay.
And that gets a little fun at times because you know someone wants to. Or there comes a point where you're like, no, I'm not trading with you. I don't care what you offer me. I'm not trading with you. You know,
you're
so
not getting my wood.
People get a little vindictive in that game. And so it gets a little fun. But because it's so easy, you spend a lot of time talking. So there's player interaction outside of the game. There's social interaction, even if there isn't player interaction necessarily.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
So and then that's it? You want to leave the others for later?
Yeah, the others can be travel games.
Awesome. So I'm going to talk about Dungeon Pets really quick. Dungeon Pets is what we played on the last game night. We played it once with me, Rico, Alfie, and Z-Man. And just this past game night, we played the same group, but instead of Rico, we had the bus with us. I bought the expansion for it, which adds a couple of other spaces, a couple of different creatures. Now the creatures have weird like powers with them, where they can almost satisfy different urges of other creatures, but they end up having more needs. It also adds different decorations that you could add to the creatures. I thought this time was a lot smoother. I had much better grasp of what I was doing. And then there was a handful of rolls that we got, not too wrong, but like they were just slightly off. So the first time, one of the biggest ones is when we played, when you age your food, if you got to the last box, we were throwing it away because we thought, oh, it's already
decomposed. So meat would get thrown away after one turn.
Because wow. It goes to that But we realized it can be decomposed and still be eaten. It just can't be once it's past that, then it goes away. Why are you looking up Full Metal Jacket?
Okay, I was gonna send you both this picture. Have you guys both seen Full Metal Jacket?
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you think Vincent D'Onofrio, like when he was young, kind of looks like Z-Man a little bit? The part where he's standing there and the dude's yelling in his face and tells him to like keeps telling him to like stop laughing, stop smiling. Let me see if I can get a picture of it.
Give me a photo.
I don't know. It was for a second. I was like, that he kind of looks like Z-Man here. And I don't know. I thought of it today. And I was gonna talk about it for a second on the podcast, but it doesn't matter. Sorry. How did you know I was looking up?
Because I could see it.
Okay. All right. Anyways, what you were saying?
All right.
Wait, you lied. 44.
Oh, 44 now?
Yeah, 44 subscribers.
How do we? Who are you guys?
Well,
tell us who you are.
I'm one.
I'm not a subscriber, so I'm not one.
The bus is one.
I don't think Elder Alfie is.
But he listens.
He listens. Bus listens. Does he subscribe?
I think so. Dude, Bus like listens intently.
He does, which is great. I can't wait to tell you about it.
We had said something and he's like, well, that wouldn't work because Benz doesn't like Benz doesn't like house ruling.
Oh, yes. Talking about house ruling, he's like, oh, but we couldn't do that because Benz doesn't like house ruling.
I was like, what the fuck? He feels so vindicated right now.
And then he like some like other random stuff too. Like the whole night I was like, what?
He's like, oh, you guys really love Brewcrafters.
Yeah, he's like, I'm really excited to play Brewcrafters from the sound of your podcast. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, and he's like an alchemist. You guys talk about alchemists. Which you,
those listeners, if this part is in the podcast, the listeners out there, he's been doing our intros and outros. He's got that sexy, sexy booming voice. Not the kid, the older man. All right, so I was talking about Dungeon Pets. I think that with the expansion adds a little bit of dimension, and with those rules that we figured out, the game...
It's smoother.
Yeah, a lot smoother.
Yes.
Just kind of understanding more of kind of the flow of how everything went. I think the first time, it just like with any heavy Euro, you're spending so much time referencing that rule book to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. And we still got a couple of things wrong. We've got the way to remove manure wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we realized halfway through we were doing removing poop wrong.
Yeah. But the game just so much fun. And the artwork is just incredible. And I don't know. I love that one. It's such a good game. It's so different than anything that's out there. And I think that if you really step back, it's kind of a straightforward worker placement, with the exception of the way that you have to care for your pets.
What about the way that you have to select your worker groups? Like, that's crazy.
That is interesting.
Actually, that's a really good point.
It's got like an almost. It's a kind of a bidding. Yeah, it's kind of a bidding.
I was thinking like. Do you think once you get like one or two creatures, could you go through each turn by only doing sets of two and taking tons of actions? Or do you think that you would just never get to go anywhere?
I think
valuable?
There's a strategy that, and I was thinking about this. I think when you're later in the rotation, so if I'm going to be fourth or even third, I think you benefit by having multiple of the same value.
Yeah.
I noticed you were getting like that. And other people, they would have like two or three at three workers. And that was really beneficial because you would get to take two or three actions in a row.
Yeah.
Because someone else might have a three. You know, other people might have threes, but they only have one three. So I think early on, if you're one of the first people, you want to vary how much. But if you're one of the later people, you can like stack in big, like multiple sets of the same value.
And you and Z-Man both though were going after like they were doing groups of seven.
Wow.
Once or twice, yeah. If I knew I needed like a very specific action that turn, and I was going to be early on, I was like, I have to. Here's seven.
The same thing happened on this game though. I got fucking dicked out of the cages and the pets the first two
on
turns.
The first, yeah.
With the expansion though, it does give you another spot that you can go to take a different cage or a pet, but there's only like one cage and one pet there throughout the whole game. But yeah, that first round, Bus, Z-Man, and Alfie, everybody took all the pets and all the cages, and it was like, no, F this. I'm already lost. But Dungeon Pets, super great. Another game by Vlada Shavatsel. Alfie, we laughed about it of like, who the fuck could ever pass 100 points in this game?
We were laughing about it.
Like, there's just impossible to be able to do that. And of course, he finishes the game with 120 points.
Wow. Nice job.
All of us, yeah, I was at 99, and I was so proud of myself for that.
Yeah.
And then Bus was at like 50, and I think Z-Man was behind me at like 80 something. but really, really great scoring game, and couldn't believe that Alf got that far out. It does give you another turn, though, so that changes some things, too.
Because that allowed me to sell two people on that last turn.
Yeah.
And that's a game where you kind of just have to – because there comes a point where on turn four, you know what – both are going to be on five. Both are going to be on six for selling. So you know if you can keep one of your pets around long enough, you know, all right, the odds are in one of those four is going to be something that I can get a ton of points on. So, I mean, that's – and then you just try to get that times three. And the fact that you can leave your times three there and then just pull them as you use it is super, super awesome.
Yeah.
Because then you don't need to do it that turn. They can just hang out for a while, and then you can benefit from it later, which is what I did.
Yeah.
I went on that pretty early on with two guys, I think. And one of them I used when I sold my first pet. And then the pet I had from turn one to the end, I was able to use my times three on him, and he got me 36 points or 39 points.
He was just killing it, dude. All right, so that's what we've been playing. What do you want to play, Rico?
I don't want to go too deep into some of these, but my list right now is Netrunner. I just finished reading the rules again.
Me too.
You know, used to be a Netrunner player, so I'm excited to get into that again. If you like it, you know, we'll have to try a Skype game of that sometime.
I think we need to do that soon.
Okay.
And maybe even when you're here. Although I know we're going to be so crunched for time.
Yeah.
It's going to be like
– I doubt we'll have the time for that. But it would be awesome to get a game in before I
– Well, okay. So you whatever. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
It's still not important.
Same thing for Devastation of the Indians. I haven't in Dines or however you pronounce it. I haven't finished reading that rule book, but it doesn't seem too complicated, and I'm hoping you can walk me through whenever we do play that.
Sure. That one we could definitely get in while you're here just because it's so short.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It is one of those ones that it probably took us four or five times to really understand it. Like just doing like especially the tempo is
it's really, where you start setting really up moves later on.
Yeah,
we started doing that after we'd played five, six times.
And then like the timing of things, where like you'll play cards and there's all these verbs or verbiage of like before this, after this, at onset of this, and you need to do that in succession because that literally dictates if damage is taken or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By the way, we've played this probably how many times? What do you got on that? Eight
or nine?
I've won once.
Wow.
I've won once. I've won once. We've probably had three really amazing games
really close,
where it's down to like one where he's been down to one life, but I've won once.
Nice. I think the guy in my group who owns Ashes, I think he's lost to his wife like 8 or 9 out of the 10 times they've played, which is really amazing.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. And then once you really get into it, like, because once you learn it a little bit, you can read like a new character and more or less grasp what, oh, this is just like this, but this is kind of the difference here.
Gotcha.
Alfie picked one guy where like, so you start off with so many bases and so many styles. He picked one guy who literally had double the cards you could play. So he just sat there and was just like, fuck. Because you have to read all of that and strategize with double it, which is great. But at the same time, you're like, I have no idea.
Makes you appreciate the simplicity of the other characters, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because that's the thing. In the set, all the characters are set up, novice, beginner, intermediate, advanced. And so we've gone through all of them. Not all the characters, but we've gone through each level at least once or twice.
Did we do master?
Cool. We haven't done master.
We haven't done the highest level because
some of them, their packs that they come with are just so large and complicated.
I have the box and I've looked through it all and I've like kind of seen the different characters and their art and that kind of stuff. So it looks awesome. And I think once I end up giving back this, you know, game that's not mine, I'm going to pick up like the little, what is it? The little box with like 10 characters in it.
Oh, the War of Indians that's out right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems sweet. Also on my list, and I'll just go over these really quickly, is Queen's Architect. Read that rule book. Seems fun. Although I was warned by the people who let me borrow it that there's no catch-up mechanic. And he was like, yeah, we've played it 2 or 3 times. And when one person starts to get ahead, it's really hard for that person to end up losing or for anyone else to catch up to him. And I thought that was an interesting comment. So I'm going to, you know, be skeptical and take that into my play of it. But I mean, it still looks so cool. Like just the pieces and that way that main tool works when you collect your workers, it looks really, really unique. But even more than all of these games, I am most excited to play Imperial Assault Skirmish with Lady Wozmen.
Nice.
Dying for that.
Sweet. Yeah. You mentioned on the last podcast that you played with Z-Man and that you guys loved it.
I'm thinking about it like more and more. So I'm reading these rule books, right? I got Compounded, the Dice Hate Me chemistry game, which for me should be huge, right? We both are chemistry backgrounds and like, yeah, it's cool. It has research tracks, which I love. And I got, you know, some of these other new games that I've borrowed and like, I should be more excited for those, but I'm still thinking about Skirmish.
Nice.
Yep.
Did you pick up, do you have any of the Star Wars expansions?
For Imperial Assault?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. So you just have, you don't have any of the character packs. You don't have
nothing
with that Boba Fett one that's out.
Nope.
Okay. Sweet. All right. So is that what you want to play?
Yeah. I haven't played that game enough. Like we've gotten through a campaign almost a couple times, like maybe 2/3 of the way through twice. And that was long before there were any expansions. And now a lot of them are really suited if you play a lot of skirmish mode. So if we do, I will. But, you know, I can't drop the money on that yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Alfie, what do you want to play?
Battle for Zendikar.
Nice.
All right.
Do you know what that is?
I've seen you're going to have to remind me, but it sounds super familiar.
Battle for Zendikar is the latest expansion for Magic the Gathering, which is going to drop on Friday.
I see those banners on cool stuff. Right. That's
which
why
sucks that it's on Friday. Like
I know,
it couldn't be on Thursday.
I know. I was like, man, I should have done a pre-release just so I'd have cards already.
Right?
Are you nerd serious?
Maybe.
Cut out this pause.
Hold on. So real quick, on the latest podcast, and I don't remember if there actually is a pause there because you edited it really well. Alfie says, cut out all that blank space so they know that I wasn't thinking.
Yeah. No, I cut out all the ums and all the really long pauses.
It was just so perfect. Like,
what the? I was just thinking of a game.
Take your time.
Oh, I want to play the it's not out yet, but it's on the boat. The Game of Thrones second edition.
Oh, yeah. Game. Yeah, that's...
It's been on the boat for over a month.
It can happen, I mean.
I also definitely thought that meant it was actually, like, on a boat.
Oh.
That's not what it means at all.
It really does mean it's on a boat.
No, they're saying it's, like, on the way to the printers. Or it's at the printers.
I think it's waiting in Long Beach.
No, it's on the boat.
Dude. No, on their website, they say, like, what the different things mean. And on the boat, it said nothing about it actually being on a ship.
Nice.
It said, like, it's on its way to the printer / it's there.
I know that for a lot of the kids.
Which, if the printers are in some foreign country, that's very possible.
Yeah, true.
Most of the Kickstarters these days, when the game ships from China, they actually give you this, like, new ship tracking ID. It's like you can track your package, but and it shows you where in the world the boat is. So
that's actually pretty cool.
Sure, when it says on the boat, they mean on the boat.
The Fantasy Flight, I think they do their things. I don't think
is it proprietary? Mean. Yeah, is it like
that? Yeah, it's
they've copyrighted the phrase on the boat.
Yeah. I spent quite a bit of time today in class when I was bored researching the patent on trading card game.
Nice.
And like everything that goes with that. It is so long and they go into so much, and you have to, so much detail.
Exactly. That's how they're allowed to keep
every little thing and all of it. And so I was looking at Wizards of the Coast is apparently everybody like calls him a bully.
Yes.
Everybody hates him for it because the second anything comes out, they'll like get on it. Isn't Games Workshop like that?
Yes.
Games Workshop is terrible.
They do Warhammer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they are. Yes. They tried to patent Space Marines, But whoever owns the Alien franchise was like, no, absolutely not.
Right.
And so that's why they changed it to now Ultramarines.
And then,
because they couldn't get the patent on it.
What is
fun fact, there's an actual brick and mortar Games Workshop shop here.
There's one in Scottsdale.
Really?
There's one in Scottsdale?
Yeah, it's by my old apartment. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm.
That'd be cool. I'd like to go into that. So not for to buy anything, that's but just to like, see it. That'd be cool.
Who?
No, I drive by and I have no interest in going there. I know the amount of pretension that would be flowing.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, I wonder if like their store employees are just as like douchebaggery as the,
you know they are.
The corporation.
I actually can confirm this because I was there on a Saturday. We were playing TI3 and this guy came in and was talking to the manager, my buddy. And he was like, yeah, I'm just stopping in. I work at the Games Workshop. And dude, I can't even like.
I get it. The way you're talking, I already know exactly what you mean.
Where's your – oh, is that your miniature section right there? Okay.
Yeah, right? Like they look down on you. It's like get out of here and go spend another $1,000 on one game. Okay.
Wait, are these the paints you sell? This is a joke, right? No, are you kidding? That's funny. fuck that. All right. Is that you? And you've been dying to play Game of Thrones forever.
Yeah, no, I haven't because I dissed the game pretty hard in one of our earlier podcasts. But ever since I actually like kind of researched it. Oh, also, confession. I was going to send this to you guys, but I figured I should do it on the podcast. Definitely thought what's the name of the new LCG that Fantasy Flight just got? They're going to make an LCG.
Legend of the Five Rings?
Legend of the Five Rings. Definitely thought that was a Lord of the Rings thing until 2.5 weeks ago. I looked it up and was like, this isn't Lord of the Rings
at
all.
This is
like samurai
stuff. It
totally
is. Yeah.
But how was I supposed to know?
To your credit,
I had never heard of the game.
It does sound like similar.
Right? Yeah. Legend of the Five Rings, Lord of the Rings. And then Lord of the Rings has all that stuff of War of the Ring and Battle of the five Armies. Right?
I can see
took all of Lord of the Rings and put it together into Legend of the Five Rings.
Now it's not actually just like orcs and dwarves. It's they all left. It's just the rings fighting each other now.
Right.
It's like an Aqua Teen Hunger Force of just
everybody's just putting on rings. Yeah. Everybody's just invisible, and it's the most amazing, boring piece of cinema you'll ever watch. Yeah, I'm so free to get Game of Thrones. I want it to be good. Right. I don't know. We're on a big card game kick, so
yeah.
If that's sick,
and this podcast is about to be I really do want you to enjoy your 3-core sets.
Whatever.
You keep saying that too. Like, you know, just to spite you, I'm gonna get one. I was only gonna get one anyways, but now I'm doing it just to spite you.
As long as we can both play on one.
Get ready for tournament
it comes
play,
with
bro.
8 starter decks.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do tournament play. I'll never do tournament play outside of my friends. I can't be around that many like people who are just that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So speaking of tournament play, I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone lately.
Oh, nice.
Because it's just fucking awesome.
Right.
So last night I was just really bored and I just couldn't sleep. And so I fucking turned on YouTube and started watching Hearthstone tournaments.
Amazing.
Do you go on Twitch at all?
I don't.
Guys, okay, on guys, Twitch. Guys,
but I just downloaded
it.
I just downloaded Twitch. So
oh, Lord.
I started streaming Trump or
what
Demigod.
Was I watching? One of my friends wants to get into
competitive Hearthstone?
No, that would be way cooler.
Dota?
LOL.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, let's play League of Legends.
Yeah.
Because it's a long story, but he was like, yeah, and I was like, dude, I was like, we just get on like play video games like every now and then, you know, a couple times a week at night or whatever for a little bit, and then we're kind of talking about it. He doesn't have an Xbox One, which right?
Weird.
I have my 360, I just don't use it, and so. He was like, oh, we could do like LOL. And I was like, we could not do that as well.
Nice.
But I would be willing to just, you know, do it. But I think Hearthstone would be way more fun.
Oh, yeah. Hearthstone's.
That's when sick. Alfie turns around and says, how about we play Rum and Bones? A board game based on your favorite MOBA game.
Rum and Bones.
Have you guys watched esports? Like, not just Twitch streaming, but actual esports?
What's that?
Like,
you're talking about like MLG?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch some MLG like Halo stuff back in the day.
Okay, so
it's still ridiculous.
I didn't realize that these are actual like sports announcers, but for fucking
yeah.
games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, man. I mean,
they have coaches. Have, yeah. The teams have coaches and stuff.
You they say stuff, though, that you would hear sports announcers say. Yes. We're like, oh, that's move, that's crazy, man. You haven't seen that since 2 years ago, right, when Johnson,
right,
was playing a Paladin Secret deck.
They do the same thing in like those Magic tournaments.
Yeah.
If you watch any of them on YouTube, you get these announcers, and they talk about it. And I wonder how, like, knowledgeable and – how crazy you must be to be able to do that. I wanted the same thing about sports announcers of you get the same guys who've been doing it forever and you get why they know all this stuff. But then, like, how does anyone come up into that? You must use the knowledge crazy. You must possess on one subject. That's not something I
ever do that thing, though, like, you know, when you're watching like a sports match and something really exciting happens and the announcers start getting really excited.
Yes, and they start yelling.
Oh my god, he dropped a Mad Scientist. Oh my god, he took the win. What?
And you're like, yes, they do that. And,
it's like, it's a this game. Is, dude, yo, I love board games and video games, but you're literally clicking and dragging a card to a place. I understand that sports is this huge feat of athleticism.
Yeah. I'm going to say it takes a lot more skill to be a professional football player than it does to be a professional Magic player.
Probably.
No, not probably. It does. It absolutely does.
All right, that'll be the next podcast. Magic versus football. All right, so mine will be really quick because you took my main one, which is Netrunner, which I just finished the rulebook for, and I got a data pack today for it as well.
Cool. I have two.
I'm super, super excited. But beyond that, I picked up this.
Oh, which I am nice.
Equally as excited about. I really want to play Tiny Epic Galaxies from Scott Alms. He did Harbor, which I have and love, and he did the rest of the Tiny Epic series, which seemed to be really well received. You guys have played Defenders, which you describe as Tiny Epic Ghost Stories, which sounds cool. Galaxies, though, seems like a lot of fun. You played this the other day.
Hold on. I have to go back to Defenders. Defenders isn't that good.
You said you didn't mind it.
Yeah, but
you've gone from like, oh, it's
the entire time I would rather be playing Ghost Stories, and like that's the footprint really isn't that much different because although the components are smaller, like it takes up your whole table, it's pretty big,
and really?
The whole so time
it's not tiny at all,
tiny components, big footprint, you'd still nice. You'd just be rather
be playing Ghost Stories.
Ghost Stories, oh, for sure. And I played Tiny Epic Galaxies, though, it's awesome.
It looks freaking amazing.
That's a new – when did that come out?
So here's the greatest thing. So you backed it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not available to most stores until the 30th, but Game Depot
– how did they get – she must
– they know the designer and they know the designer and the owner of Gameland Games, Michael Koh.
Gotcha.
So he – so I told her about it. I was like, hey, my friend just got Tiny Epic Galaxies, in the mail. And she was like, oh, I totally forgot that it was out. I went in today, and she told me, oh, Michael, who's Michael Koh, the owner of Gameland Games, called me, and I guess he went to, is it RingCon that's on right now? Some game convention that's going on. And he called her and asked, hey, I have, you know, something like 20 copies left. Do you guys want them?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, absolutely, because they're not going to retail for another month.
Yeah.
Now, coolest thing is she gave me the Kickstarter exclusives with it as well.
Oh, that's super clutch.
She had I don't know if I got all of them, but she gave me this like little packet of like this mini expansion.
Yeah, no, that's the only Kickstarter exclusive thing I have.
So she said she had five of them, and she was like, you're in here enough, you can have it. And I was like, that's nice. Both cool and sad at once.
Yeah, you're in here enough.
Yeah.
Oh dude, that's so awesome, man.
No, but right, so I have the satellites and the big weapons.
So when I went over Friday night to Elder Alfie's to play a couple games, his bearded friend had a game. And Rico, you had sent us that picture of the game. I didn't know what game it was from the picture. But when I went over, I looked down at the cards. They just finished the game when I walked in. I looked down and I was like, that kind of looks like the game Rico was playing. I asked him about it. It's called Galaxy Conquest or Galaxy Command or something like that. And it looks very similar to Tiny Epic Galaxies. Apparently that game sucks. Absolutely terrible. And it was a Kickstarter game. He backed it on Kickstarter. He got it. Apparently said it was really hard. It just wasn't really that fun. It doesn't seem like they really play tested it that well. And
which is
box it comes in is one of those like white cardboard like box, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like a super cheapo
Okay, yeah.
White, the kind of cardboard that feels like it would fall apart in your hands.
Like a cookie box.
The cookie box, exactly.
Yeah.
Or like a donut box.
Yeah, except worse.
Okay.
And the ain't cards like go in there, and then box. That slides into like a sleeve that has like the artwork or whatever of the what would normally be the box. And well, so it's just
like a lie.
Yeah. So I thought it was whatever game you would play, and I was like, no, there's no way this is the game Rico played because yeah. Rico wouldn't have sent a picture of a bad game.
And that's the thing, like Kickstarter, we don't talk about it a whole lot. It's just you're running the risk, especially if you don't know the designer or the company, of getting shit.
Even if you do.
Yeah, I mean, some people keep adding minis to their projects because they know they'll get funded then. Mm-hmm. The game could be horrible. Just because you have, like, I mean, look at Mansions of Madness, which has gorgeous minis, but it's supposed to be a pretty unbalanced game.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. I haven't played it yet, which I still want it, but, like, you know, that thing is a beautiful-looking game, but it's supposedly far, far worse than all the Arkham games.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to buy, Rico?
Hold on. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
No problem.
Oh, wait.
Wait, should we go to the bathroom too? Oh, you took off his headphones.
Soggy nachos. So what have you been eating lately? Anything good?
All right, what's up, everybody? This is Vince from www.dropthedice.com, and here we are with our second episode of Soggy Nachos, where we talk about what we've been eating lately. I got to tell you, man, today I grilled up some chicken, and then the wife made some egg noodles and gravy, which is not something that I would normally eat.
Nah.
But, man, it's fucking delicious.
I bet. Sounds pretty good.
So you know when you're grilling something and you get that char flavor?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I chopped it up, you know, on a bias, of course, so you get the best cut.
Obviously.
Of the meat. Yeah. When you put it in the gravy, that char flavor just soaks into the gravy. Ooh. So what it does is it cuts down the bitterness, and then just all it adds is that burnt, like, kind of nice. Like where you're tasting the 5 years that I've had my grill entirely in your mouth.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, and it kind of brings us back to last week and where we have that delicious mouthfeel.
Yes.
Where you want to feel it on each corner of your mouth, where you really just want the gravy to coat your whole body as it just moves through.
It's like as it's about to go in your mouth, you start salivating, kind of, you know?
Just a little bit.
That anticipation.
And it's almost like the saliva is like rinsing your mouth out so that all you can do is taste gravy.
Right, it's clearing your palate.
It's exactly. So the saliva is working as that palate cleanser. The gravy comes in, coats everything, and then the chicken just slides on in.
Yeah.
And it's just dancing around in your belly. That just that gorgeous, gorgeous chicken.
That sounds wonderful.
Right? What did you eat today?
I actually had some Indian food.
Oh, all right. Did you get this eggplant Bertha?
I did not.
Sog paneer?
I didn't have that either.
You'll quickly learn that I know three dishes.
My brother, not Elder Alfie, the other Elder Alfie,
sure.
Middle Alfie, he texted me a couple weeks ago a picture of sog paneer from like a box in like a grocery store.
Sure.
Like, yo, go make it home. And he's like, hey, man, when's the next time you're going to be at?
The place, yeah.
The place. He's like, this shit just isn't cutting it.
Nice.
And I was like, you know, and I talked to him a little bit. And then the next week, he was asking me again. I was in the library, and he called me up. And I was like, here's the thing, dude. Go down there. They know who you are. If they don't, tell me you're my brother. They'll give you the discount. Don't worry about it. And he was able to get some wonderful sog paneer.
Wait, did he really go for sog paneer?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
This is fucking delicious. I see, know. And it's another one that has this amazing mouthfeel. As like as the spinach is kind of going in your mouth and kind of just moving around, mm-hmm. and you just feel it on all the corners of your teeth, especially when it gets to your molars, there's just nothing just greater than that. That feel of spinach grinding against those beautiful molars.
What's happening right now?
Hey, what's up, Rico? Welcome to the latest episode of Soggy Nachos.
Drop the menu.
All right, what do you want to buy, Rico?
Still Pandemic Legacy.
Okay.
Nice.
I only say that because I can play and I can borrow, and the guy who runs the game store that I play with, he gets all the other games. Like, I don't need to buy them. I don't want to buy them. But I want to buy Pandemic Legacy. I need to buy that because I want to do a game with just me and Lady Wasman. So,
and I think that'll be an awesome one for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to buy? Don't say Game of Thrones.
Okay. that'll present the card. What do I want to buy? Let's see.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go.
All right, so I'm actually really interested in picking up expansions right now.
Nice.
As much as I want to keep getting more games, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. And especially with you leaving, we've been going back and playing games with Bust and Z-Man that we've already played together. So it's really enjoyable to kind of like revisit these games and to realize, oh my God, like I bought this in the first place because it's fucking awesome. How can I make this experience even better? So, you know, I got the Dungeon Pets expansion. I really want to get the Last Will expansion. I think that'll add a lot to that game. There's a handful of micro expansions out from Madeira that I really want to get and just mess around with.
Really? More than the one I got you?
There's one more out there of like the similar thing where it's just like, I think it's a couple more nobles and shit.
Okay.
There's another Seasons expansion that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, it adds more cards. Just stuff like that. But I mean, the Last Will getting sacked is the main one that I really want to pick up and kind of start exploring. I can't wait for the magic one, but that's, you know, not coming till January. The other thing is, I know I mentioned it in What Do You Want to Play, but I can tell I'm going to fucking love Netrunner as long as I can find someone to play it with.
Yep.
And just exploring that. And I love the fact that, and we've talked about this, that I can just buy a pack and that's it. I don't have to worry that I didn't get like doubles of fucking cards after six packs.
I will say, during the latest Shut Up and Sit Down piece about Netrunner that they have, he casually drops into a sentence the number of available cards in the pool right now.
It's ridiculous.
6,153.
It is, which is almost so big that I'm not even going to try to get there.
How long has Netrunner been going on?
3 years.
That's it?
Wow. But I could literally start from now, buy as I go, and I'd probably be in a good spot.
Yeah, probably.
Like once a month you buy the $15 pack or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm wondering. So
also, Fantasy Flight's going to do a similar thing that they did with Game of Thrones, but I don't think they're stopping and re-releasing. But they're going to say, okay, you play core set, and then it's only going to be like the last 6 months of data packs are valid. But I'm not going to play tournaments, so it doesn't matter.
The first edition of Game of Thrones LCG went 12 years, I believe. And I'm pretty sure Netrunner has more cards than Game of Thrones did.
Probably.
But that's also they weren't releasing them monthly back in 05, 06, yeah. You know? Which that's what I find crazy is that Netrunner has only been around for a few years and already has so much more than Game of Thrones.
Well, also they have like a handful of big sets that have come with an extra 160 cards.
Right, like, and more like core sets, yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm. That's deluxe. I think they call them like a deluxe.
Yeah, the deluxe expansions.
Did you see
they Do you have one of those?
No, I have just two. I just have two data packs.
Wow.
Their Cthulhu one. What's it called?
Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu. Did you see they're ending that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are. They're going to be releasing like a deluxe, basically.
Yeah, with all of it.
And no, not with all of it. Like a last deluxe expansion, and they're saying like that's the last one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Eric Lang too.
So
Vince, I want to add to your what you want to buy thing. If you buy Getting Sacked, I'll make sure that we have time to play that when I'm home.
Serious?
Yeah.
Like, is that something that you really want to do? Because I told you, you give me something that you really want, I can try and make that happen. Within reason, I'm not going to go out and buy Imperial Assault.
More to come on that. We'll see.
All right. What do you want to buy?
I want to buy...
Oh, hold on. First off, are you really not going to do Warhammer now?
I'm not. Yeah.
No,
I'm not
you made it. The decision. You're not going
to
do
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Right. I don't have... I have enough money, but I choose to be responsible, and I don't need both.
Yeah.
And so... I'll say this. If I'll buy the core set of Game of Thrones, if it's not that fun, I'll probably go buy the
core set of Warhammer.
Core set of Warhammer 40K. Because so I assume it'll probably be better than if I don't like Game of Thrones. It's probably that intrigue stuff.
Are you talking about 40K Conquest?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he was going to get into it, but he decided not to. He's going to focus on Game of Thrones. But if Game of Thrones isn't good, he'll go to Conquest.
I'll go buy a core set of Conquest and see if that's
the guys better. Out here in Connecticut that I play with, they play and own everything that's ever come out for the Lord of the Rings and
also
40K Conquest, and they love 40K Conquest.
Yeah,
nice. I mean, like anything 40K, the art's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. That's not a world I'm at all interested in, just because I've never been in it except for Forbidden Stars. So it's not something that pulls me in the way Game of Thrones does. But if it's a better game, I can get into that world.
Yeah.
Also, what you guys find, like, one of the things about Netrunner that I find so fascinating is I love this idea when you make a run against the corporation.
Sure.
It the imagery involved in that for me is amazing, because I picture like you actually running, and
the artwork and that game is insane too.
Have you ever played the video game Mirror's Edge?
No.
It's like a free running video game. It simulates like free running. It's a first person.
It's pretty cool
kind of thing. It's really cool, and actually that's how I've always imagined like running on a corporation in Netrunner. Like you're,
I mean, even reading the rule book to Netrunner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, do you read the rule book?
No. But I listened to Secret Cabal's like really old episode where they talk about it. And it is, I picture, and I ran track all my life, and so just the idea of actually like running, and there's this building you're running, and like it is so fascinating to me, and I feel like it'd be so exciting when you're like, all right, I don't quite know what their blockade things they have going on are, but I'm gonna make a run.
Yeah, well, even reading the rule book, it when you're reading it, it's kinetic almost. Like you're like, oh man, you gotta get through this thing, and you have to. Your icebreaker needs to match the ice that's like, in front of you, and it's all this stuff.
Reminds me like Tron.
Yeah.
Like the first Tron.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Like cool though.
Well, yeah, yeah, like and awesome graphics.
Yeah,
but it reminds me of that Tron. No, like you're Garrett in Henry. There, and you're you might, or like the movie Hackers, which is a terrible movie.
Johnny Lee Miller though.
Where you're like you're at your computer or whatever, and you're hacking, but you get into the virtual world of like actually running and everything. So
I'm super excited, and I know I'm gonna fucking fall into the pit with this one, which is why it'll probably be the only one that I really jump into.
Yeah,
because I'll have that in Magic until they release Legend of the Five Rings in 2017. Love Lord of the Rings so much. No, I just
Lord
can't wait.
So good.
My Gollum deck's gonna be insane. all right, so that's what do you want to buy? What confuses you, Rico?
Oh, awesome. So you guys will know this already because you liked my picture on Instagram, but I played Barony with Lady Wasman on Monday.
Okay, yeah. Are you talk about the color?
This game is fucking awful.
Is it?
Wouldn't get from my very lovable like hashtag of we're loving how off color the ninth meeples are. No, it's so bad. So the two things that are confusing us is one, quality control. What the hell is going on in this game and any other game that has pieces that don't match colors? Like all of like the big buildings. So you have these city meeples that are like in over an inch tall. They're really big. Then you have like tiny little village things. And those are the same blue color. But then they gave you these little horse meeples that you like do your main actions and you move around. And those are like in a different color for every faction. It's like they sent all of those little horse meeples to a different printer, and it makes no sense. And just looks like, I don't know. You just start taking stuff out of the bags and you're like, wait, what's happening? Like, is something wrong? Did these horse ones not get finished?
So, I watched a video on it, and the guy even said they're so off color that he feels that it must have been intentional because they're not even close.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that anyone at like a company would intentionally make that bad of a choice.
Yeah.
It's that bad. Do you guys have any experience with that? Have you seen that in any other games?
Not like that. Not where it's like a different shade of blue completely is the one that I keep seeing.
Yeah.
That's the one that you had, and that's the one that Vassal and Board Game Brawl showed on theirs.
Every single faction's horses are a different shade of like the main thing.
Yeah, that's so random.
So that leads me into my next what confuses me, and that's coasting off of your name. and I love this, and I want you guys to like give me some thoughts on this because
this is the guy that did Splendor.
Yeah, this is the first game that the guy that made Splendor has made, and Lady Wasman and I both thought it's a terrible game. Like it wasn't good.
What's so bad about it?
Okay, so for starters, the tiles that you use in the map are the same tiles that you use in Mage Knight. So, right, there's an unfair association that I have, right, where I pull out those same tiles and I'm like, oh, Mage, and it's not freaking Mage Knight, right? So, yeah. So you set up this board and it's 9 tiles per player. And that part is important because while we're playing it, the whole time we're thinking, well, if there's more people, maybe there'll be more interaction. But the answer to that is no, because it's 9 tiles per person. So the board grows with the number of people. But you have your board and you do this like setup, and you have a number of cities and villages and knights that start on the board at the beginning of the game. And you essentially move your knights around the board, and your knights can then, as an action, turn into a city. And then as another action on another turn, those can turn into a village, and then they can turn into a city. It just feels so half-baked to me. Like, Lady Wasman and I were able to spread our knights around the board into optimal spots to get the most points while completely avoiding, like, player interaction or conflict. Because if you actively seek out conflict, you're going to spend a lot of your turns to do that, right? I'm gonna take... And to do conflict, you have to take 2 knights. You have to have more pieces on a space than your opponent does. So if your opponent has a village or a knight or whatever, you have to take more pieces there to kill him. So you would have to mobilize basically your forces, move them to a specific space, and then kill somebody. Whereas if you don't do that, you can just move, turn 1 knight into a village, and then on the next turn that village into a city, and then you get points. It's like, there's no reason not to do that. And it's like, it takes so much time to do conflict that we just found ourselves distancing ourselves from each other, like just avoiding each other completely. And when I saw the scoring track, I said, well, you know, maybe we're going to make so many villages and cities and stuff that sooner or later it's going to force some conflict, but it didn't. We were able to win the game before that happened. And then you think, right, well, maybe more people, you'll have more conflict. But no, because you just add more tiles. I don't know. My hands are up with this one. I have got no – I can't make heads or tails out of it. It was comically fun. It was comically fun because it was so bad, because the pieces were off color, because the choices in the game made no sense and just seemed completely random. Not a good one. And that makes me think that the dude has such a success with Splendor that he's completely coasting on this one and put very little effort in this. And it doesn't matter the effort that he put forth, anyone or somebody was going to pick it up.
Yeah. I've seen 2 videos on it, and both times I've not really gotten it the same way you can kind of get another game of like, oh, okay, I get what's kind of going on and like why you would want to do this. I've never gotten the feeling of like, oh, of like, okay, that looks like fun, other than like you're essentially just moving a piece, upgrading it and moving it and upgrading it, right?
Yeah, you move it somewhere that's safe, then you turn it into a village and you get a token tile for it, and then you move a different action, you can turn those token tiles into upgrade your status, and if you
yeah, and that lets
the, you win. It's like
the score tracker looked kind of cool with those steps. Yeah, it just looked weird, like abstract in like a bad way.
Abstract in the worst way. When we set it up, I was like, wow, maybe this will be like what I love my abstract games to be, a hive mixed with the Duke, you know.
Yeah.
All taken from chess, which is amazing. It's none of those things. It is Yeah, no, it's the easiest common denominator, and I think this is a cop-out of a game that he made because he had a simple name recognition. I'm really disappointed.
Nice. What are you confused about?
Okay. So, here's... This isn't directly related to board games, but I bring it back to board games.
Is it about a girl?
It's not.
Damn it.
I don't get the obsession people have with Firefly.
Damn it. That's no lie. That's what I was going to talk about.
Nah.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Not that I don't, I get, because I kind of get it. I don't get why people can't make a decent board game about it.
That's where I was going to bring it back to board games was
because I think
they can't make a single good Firefly game.
I think it's a super cool show. I don't know why you can't make a good game out of it.
I don't get why.
Why do you keep trying?
Why do people love that show?
Yeah, like why are you trying to force it? Why are you such a tryhard?
Right.
No, okay, because Shiny Dice looks ridiculous.
That's the one I heard about recently.
The board game itself seems what's the word? Like finicky or fiddly. That's what they always say. Like fiddly at best.
At best.
Yeah, like
I've never heard a single good thing of any of them.
And yeah.
The guys all played. What is it? Is it Shiny Dice?
Yeah, Shiny Dice is the new one.
Yeah, they played it at Gen Con. All of them were like, nope, not a good game.
Yeah, that reminds me of almost like I talked about it in like one of the first tabletop ones. There's the Mars Attacks dice game where you literally roll dice, and if it's a gun, if you have like so many guns, you can score. If you don't, then you don't, and then you roll again.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Like a non-game. Yeah, okay. But so
I don't get why I don't get why people love that specific show and world so much.
Is it because
it's one of those things like it was gone too soon?
Yeah.
Like if it had run three seasons and then finished, nobody would care.
No.
People would be like, oh yeah, it was a good show, but they wouldn't love horribly. It. But people are obsessed with that show, and I just don't – Han Solo is way cooler. Chewbacca is way better than that big goon he has. Like, you know, I'll be honest, Steve the Pirate is pretty cool though in Firefly.
That's just because Steve the Pirate is basically you in the TV show.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. The cute mechanic, like that's cool because she's cute, but like
obviously. Mal's pretty awesome.
Who's the guy who plays Steve the Pirate?
I don't know his name.
My favorite character actress. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's good. He's good as like a nice like sidekick.
That's what I was thinking of because I was at the store looking at Shiny Dice and there's another one that came out too.
Yes.
And I was just
there's like four or five games.
Yeah, and they're just trying so hard.
It's almost like
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Okay.
Yeah, he is freaking great.
It's like they want enough fan service because that's the only reason people are gonna buy that game because of the name on it. But they can't give it to Vlada.
Yeah.
Give it to Vlada, and Vlada would make a perfect game.
And it'd be so awesome. It would be like this.
I think that he's got standards. All of these, to me, feel like cop-outs made by people who don't really want to.
See, that's when you can give it to someone like Eric Lang, who's totally cool with taking a huge paycheck, but still making a great game.
There you go.
Like XCOM. XCOM could have been a throwaway game, but it's a lot of fun. It's not the greatest game, it's super cool.
It seems like what you're saying is it's people trying to make – so they're trying so hard to make a game about Firefly, they're not actually making a game.
Exactly.
Like that's one of the examples people use when it comes to like Guitar Hero versus Rock Band. Guitar Hero was gamers trying to make a game about music, and Rock Band was musicians trying to make a game about music. So it was like they were better at getting across what the music and like being in a band felt like than Guitar Hero, which was a terrible game.
Guitar was a lot of fun.
Okay, Rock Band 4 is coming out this year, so.
Do you still have your old guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
I spent hundreds of dollars on Rock Band.
I have like 100 downloadable songs.
Yeah, Rico has a custom drum set.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that. Yeah.
I actually threw it away.
I know. Because you know you can't sell those.
It started to go a little faulty.
Yeah, that's the thing is that stuff does not hold up after years.
Yeah.
As well, so that sucks.
But it got me into real music, like of playing drums and.
That's super cool.
Guitar Hero could never do that, so yeah.
That's true. I'm with you there.
There's a lot of tangents on this one. It sounds good though.
If you want me to come home and play some expert drums for you,
I'd love it. I'd love it. I'm pretty good.
I'm your guy.
So.
All right. Well, I still have my guitar and my mic, so we could do that.
There we go. We are gonna have a great grand old time. We got Beatles Rock Band. I have two mics. You have one mic. That's three mics. You can do the three part harmony.
I have the Aerosmith Rock Band. I have AC/DC. Guitar Hero.
I have the AC/DC Guitar Hero.
Good deal. All right. Cool. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll finish up with what games we think are great for traveling. right. Welcome back, Rico. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Excellent. Good, good. And tell us again what you got there. You're moving on from the scotch.
Bevs. Cool Bevs.
The scotch is gone. I'm on to some delicious organic pineapple juice and I'll call it organic pineapple vodka. Is that a thing?
Sweet. I have a Sam Adams pumpkin batch, which is par.
Par, yeah.
Yeah. It, like, it's not bad.
I don't know if they have this over on the West Coast, but this is from a Connecticut brewery called Half Full. It has awesome art. I love the design on this. Their stuff is really good.
How is that one?
Really good. It's like super light and
it looks amazing.
Not too spicy, which is something that I'm seeing, I think, too often in pumpkin ales, is like they just overload you on like, okay, here's a ton of nutmeg and
allspice.
And I'm like, no. Like subtlety is what wins here. And this one's really good.
Did you like the Ballast Point one?
Yeah, but I feel like it's in. I feel like it's a Scottish ale first.
Absolutely, that's what I was gonna say. I felt like so. My favorite is the Wasatch if I want pumpkin flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would probably drink the Ballast Point more because it's beer.
Yeah.
With some pumpkin. And that has a little bit more subtlety than the Sam Adams one going on in it. Anyways, that's enough about liquor. What's your favorite beer, Alfie?
Beer? I mean, I don't really drink beer.
All right.
Talking about hard liquor or what?
Okay, so we're going to talk about travel games. Kind of take it from a couple different perspectives here. But again, this is in honor of Rico's pending nuptials, and he's going to be traveling with some people. So we thought, why not give him some amazing suggestions? Also, if you guys are out there, all 44 of you, 48 depending on the day, have any suggestions, you can email us at – what's the email again?
DropTheDicePodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter @DiceDrop, and you can tweet us or email us any suggestions you have for great travel games. We have just over a week and a half before Rico needs to pack and or buy games for this. And, of course, if he's here, we can go to the FLGS and get something as well. If you guys tweet at us, he'll be able to get that.
A week and a half he'll be coming in?
Yeah.
Which means they'll hear this in a month after
he's
coming.
They're going to hear this probably when he comes back.
Yeah, when he's coming back from – no, they're going to hear this way after that because he's not going to edit it while he's away. Like,
yeah.
He's going to edit it when he gets back, and then they'll hear it.
Me and Alfie have planned –
2016.
Yeah, we plan to do at least one podcast while you're gone.
Your ear first.
2016.
Wait, what?
So we plan to do one podcast while you're gone, and we're hoping that we do it error-free so that I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, I'm not editing that shit, no.
Yeah, right? I think it'll work out.
We have done none podcasts without Alfie, and I will say, hey, Alfie, I mentioned that when you were asleep or on a date or sleeping with a date, we're not sure, I said, hey, let's just do without him. Silence. Radio silence.
I thought you guys were still going to do it. I even sent
– You did even send me what I
should
I
have
talk
sent
about.
Ben a couple games. I was like, yeah, sorry. These are my games. Like, I thought you guys – because – also, when we talked about it on when we were talking about like what we're going to talk about, Rico, you named like 6 or 7 games. I had not played a single one of those games. I was like, I have absolutely nothing to say on this topic.
Because he goes to Jaipur, which you're like, okay, that's a very specific game.
But
awesome game.
So I found out when I got here or earlier today when you suggested travel games again that I was like, oh, I guess they didn't talk about it. I guess they didn't podcast. I thought you guys still podcasted.
No.
So
I guess we did go to a text message after that. Yeah, our messages are in 3 different spots.
I'm not good enough to podcast with by myself. So
it's gonna be weird though. It's gonna be weird when it's just us two because I feel like I can't read my book.
You probably can't.
I'm gonna have to pay attention the entire time now.
We'll bring in RC, see what he has to say. We'll talk about Flick 'em Up the whole time.
All right, that sounds good.
Alfie, why don't you start us off with some travel games?
So the first thing I wanted to look at were games that you can fit easily in like a backpack or something that you can take with you. They're not necessarily, for the most part, they're not games you would ever play like out in public. They're, you'd play in a hotel room or something like that. At, say you're traveling to a family's house, you can kind of pull that out on the table or something. Small games. The three I want to talk about are Race for the Galaxy, Elder Sign, and Cthulhu Realms. Race for the Galaxy is just a deck of cards and some victory chit points that you can easily just keep track of on a phone or anything like that. Now, there can be a lot of cards, but either way, you just have a stack of cards, almost as if you had a couple Magic decks.
All right, so I'm the one that hasn't played this. Rico, thoughts on this as a travel game?
Yeah, agreed.
Really?
Yeah, this is a success.
You have the necessity to have people who've played this before, though.
Well, sure, but I mean, everything on my list is like really good for two, and it's good for the two people in my life, myself and Lady Guasman, you know, who played them. So I think that's something that you get in travel games, right?
Fair enough. I like your idea of just deck games, cards.
Like, no one is thinking
Monopoly. Travel Monopoly.
There's not people who aren't in your core playing these games, right? Because you're going outside of your normal like game group thing to play games on the go, yeah. Right? Whether it's grandmother's house, like you said, or at a bar, like I'm going to talk about, or whatever, right? So it's just you and that small group of people, and that's usually someone who's very closely associated with yourself.
All right, fair enough. I do like the idea of just having the deck of cards because that's great.
And it doesn't because you don't need the box
at that point. You need a rubber band.
Right. And it doesn't take too much time. It's not to a point where you're playing an hour and a half game,
which is actually really good for a travel game too.
Right. Now, Elder Sign, we've all played this. That has a lot more stuff, but you can still carry it in a small box.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's fun and it's thematic enough to where even if I mean, anybody who reads knows of the Cthulhu mythos, sure, from Lovecraft, you know?
Or they've heard of Lovecraft, at least.
Yeah, some idea. And if not, most people like horror something. So you can pull that out. On the most recent podcast came out, we talked about a 15-minute game, Ben, she said. Yeah. It's definitely not a 15-minute game, but I mean, still, that game's not going to take you longer than 45 minutes. So
yeah.
It's a quick game. It's fun. There isn't a whole lot to it. You know, there's quite a few small components, but even then it won't take up that much space. And I feel like that's a game that it's not the entry level isn't too high for, you don't need to have played a bunch of games before.
Yeah.
Your guys' thoughts on Elder Sign?
I think that you and I took the topic of travel games entirely in a different direction, which I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
For you, it's all right. I go to a setting where maybe it's acceptable to pull out a game, and Elder Sign is the perfect game for that. It's easy enough to teach to people who might not be like really adept or you know, have played a lot of genius board games, right?
Right.
Right.
Because the basic mechanic is really easy, right? So you could teach that to them, but it has enough going on with components and flavor text and art and all that stuff where it's like, this is a really cool thing. You can pack it in a small box and take. So I was skeptical of the choice, but after hearing you explain it, I think it's rock solid.
I like it.
All right,
last one.
Cool. Last one, Cthulhu Realms. Again, same universe. That game, also deck of cards. And your little like scorecard with a small chit that goes small token that goes on your card to
which
could show your victory like points basically
or whatever
and that's another one you can just keep track of on your phone even if you wanted to. It's a simple deck builder, which is a new mechanic for most people that, you know, if they hadn't played that before. If I took this to I'm thinking about this in the sense of my two friends, one of them who created the term genius board games, who they're not particularly interested in.
But if I
sat them down and were like, hey, let's play this like small game. It's kind of it's a take that. It's an attack game, which most people want. When you get a group of people together and you're like, oh, let's play a game, they want attacking. They want conflict because that's –
See, I don't know. I really think that they want to trade in the Mediterranean. And nailed it. All right. End of the podcast.
But I feel that's, again, another quick one. That one didn't take us very long at all to play.
No, that takes like 10 minutes. It's Star Realms. Yeah, I mean, you know this.
Mm-hmm. So it's a small game that I think can be a lot of fun and still thematic.
Yeah, you're good.
So I feel like that would be, again, another fun one that you can just play with some buddies or even your family or something while traveling.
I would absolutely bring Cthulhu Realms with me anywhere.
Okay.
And I liked it a little bit better than Star Realms just because Cthulhu's badass. And the art is freaking amazing on that one.
The art's really cool. The art's so cool. I think we mentioned on an earlier podcast when we talked about playing it. It's a unique take on
Cthulhu. It's kind of like cartoony and fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Damn. All right, Rico, why don't you go?
Well, first up on my list is Star Realms. So
I knew it. I knew it.
I feel like I'm going to have to try Cthulhu Realms because, I mean, it's Lady Wasmin's like in her top five.
Star Realms is?
Yeah, games of all time. We have so much fun with it. We take it with us. I mean, it's something that it's just a small little deck and I can throw into my bag and we can
I love Star Realms for that.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. And it takes everything that we love about the many deck builders that we have and puts it head to head, which I don't actually have in the many deck builders that I have. So like the fact that it offers that is really cool. Before I keep talking, I do want to preface this by my list is a list of games that Lady Wasmin and I have taken to bars, have played outside in the grass, have played in unconventional and small cramped places and have worked for us. So these are all two player things. But they always work for us because I always, if you know me, I always have a bag with me. I have this like bag. If I'm going to a friend's house, if I'm going to whatever.
The IKEA bag.
He totally does.
No. It's not the IKEA bag. It's the green bag. I show up with this like green bag and in there. It's like my overnight bag, but I take it to work. So it has like.
The IKEA bag is when he's coming for game night.
Okay.
Exactly.
You mean if you're going somewhere, you have a green bag with you.
Right. When I'm going somewhere, I've got this bag and it's got
knapsack. Like,
my overnight stuff. It's got, you know.
I don't know, but yeah, I got you.
And I always throw like, you know, a few little travel games into there. So these are the games that are most often thrown into said aforementioned bag. So that, I mean, obviously the biggest one that most often gets played and thrown in is Star Realms. Whoa.
We just got attacked.
What was it?
Twin says threw a football at Alfie.
Well, it didn't come anywhere near me, though.
He threw it in the general vicinity, and it hit and knocked over many things.
The wall blocked it for me.
No. All right. I'm sorry, Rico, that they interrupted you.
No, you're good. I'll go through these ones pretty quickly. I don't want to, like, you know, take up too much time because they're all pretty small. But
yeah,
you did start this whole segment by saying these aren't fillers, and I do think, like, especially the next one I'm going to talk about is definitely a filler type.
My point is I don't think they need to be fillers.
Okay.
Race for the Galaxy is absolutely not a filler.
Yeah, no. I think your example is the way we have different coming at it from different perspectives and different angles shows yours are much less fillers than mine or Rico's are.
I don't think Elder Sign is a filler either. It might be filler length. I don't think that's a filler game.
I disagree. I think it's the other way. I think that game can take up to over half an hour, which is not a filler in a sense.
Cool.
If a game's a half hour, but the thought process that goes into that is nothing. You roll dice and you do the smart thing.
Well, I think one of the best quotes that we've had on this podcast is Rico's when we're talking about dice games. He said that the best person at a dice game is the person that can mitigate that chance and react accordingly.
Yeah, you do the smartest thing. You look at probability.
I'm going to pretend like I remember saying that.
I don't remember you saying that, but it sounds like something
I reworded. Would say. You said something along the lines of the best person at a dice game is the person who can roll those dice, see what they got, and react the best way with what they have.
Use the word mitigate again. It sounds way better.
Oh, it did sound good. I'm like, damn, did I do that?
That's a word we use in law.
Yeah.
Mitigate.
Well, you mean litigate.
No, that's another word, litigate. That's,
yeah, litigate.
That's when you argue. Mitigate is when you want to lessen the damages.
Mitigate
damages.
Mean litigate.
Oh, my God.
All right, assholes. So my next one is a game that I think everybody would dismiss as a filler, but
yeah,
to go off what you're saying, Alfie, I think the thought process is more. It's a word game called Scrabble Slam, and it's just one deck of cards, but you're making these four-letter words. And the rules are really simple in that if you don't house rule it, so obviously you could never play events, that's fine. But if you don't house rule it, you can go back and play the same words over and over again. So if you have, so if you have the word four, like in golf, F-O-R-E, and you, Bence, in your hand, you have a couple S's and a couple F's, and in my hand, I've got a couple S's and a couple F's. You could play an S on top of the F and make it into the word sore, and I could play an F and make it into the word four, and we could go back and forth, right, and just do four, sore, whatever. Yeah. But in four our house, Lady Wasp, wow. we make it so that once a word is played, you can't go back and play the same word again.
Oh, I like that. But that's not a real rule, though, right?
It's a house rule.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means it makes the game better, right? That's what that means, house rule.
Oh, yeah.
Ben's thoughts on house rule?
Yeah, because you guys are better than Jamie Stagmeier.
Yeah.
You hear that, Jamie Stagmeier?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, you hear that, Jamie? James, old James Master?
No, his All parents right. named him Jamie.
What?
Sorry.
Is that actually like a name people get?
Yeah, his name's Jamie with like an EY. It's not even an IE.
Well, like a girl. Guys are named James, though.
No,
not it's Jamie Stagmeier.
It's Jamie.
All right. I apologize for offending anybody who I offended out there, but, you know.
Which, okay, so by the way, we should be getting the new Stone Mare game
people get
the day you're here.
Really?
Yeah. If all goes well.
If all what?
If all goes well.
What happens?
We'll get the new Stone Mare game.
Oh, yeah.
You mean, right?
What's up?
On Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make that sound like we're going to get it.
Okay, Jamie Stagmeier, if anything, people who hate his games will say that he is amazing at Kickstarter. What are they called?
Running.
Yeah, he's amazing at promoting. Running Kickstarter. Yeah, like running Kickstarter promotions.
Yeah.
He's like, and his updates are by far the most comprehensive and like concise somehow.
Nice. Two things that don't belong together. Okay. So to go through my next games, I've got Hanabi, which is ultra fun to play as a two-player game, ultra hard to play as a two-player game. Competitive, but yet cooperative, and just the perfect game to take out for two people. At a bar setting, at any setting, at a park setting, at a, hey, we have 5 minutes in between this thing. Let's make people jealous of the cool thing that we're doing and actually jealous because it really does look that good.
Yeah, Hanabi, that would be great at a bar. That sounds amazing, actually. Have you played Hanabi yet?
No.
Oh, Twincest loves it. Maybe you can pick up a copy for like $5 if you're lucky.
It's really great. I recommend that.
You have no desire to play it?
And everybody who has ever played it loves it. So
it's the game where like you have cards and but you don't get to see them. Everybody else, the cards face the other players.
Oh, that's fun. Like a party game?
I don't know if it gets in the party
like
game.
Like the one where you put the thing on your head party. And it's like somebody in the room.
No, it's not that one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. The last travel game that I love, and this is on the list because this game traveled to Bangladesh and it got played in Bangladesh.
Jaipur.
Jaipur is a two-player trading game, set collecting game, I guess. It is incredibly tense.
Sounds like
incredibly simple to play. It has great artwork, and one of my favorite things about it is that, like, the designer of this game and another game called Zuroletto. Do you know that game?
Yeah.
They apparently are like they like don't like each other and are in a bitter conflict with each other. So in Jaipur, one of the camel cards in there has a tiny little panda, and it's to make fun of that game and vice versa.
That's hilarious.
I'm serious. It's like the first board game that I've seen like actual rivalry in. And like it's like when you go to like IMDb and look at the little like footnotes and they're like, oh yeah, this frame, you know, references this and makes fun of this. There's a board game version of that. It's Jaipur. It's awesome.
This guy made Jamaica.
Yeah, and he made Jamaica, which is a great tiny little race game. that's the worst rule book ever.
It really is, because it doesn't have any sort of like, oh, if this happens, this is what you should do.
Yeah, it's the worst. Waggle Dance has the same type of rule book where you have to expand it, and it's like, you know, 6 feet across.
Oh, like level 99?
Yeah. I can't stand it.
I think another game, I was just thinking about this, that kind of goes along with your way of games you play with Lady Wiseman while traveling that you've taken to places. My brother and his wife, when they went to Italy on vacation, took Brewcrafters, the card game.
Well, you took that with Barnabas.
Which I actually played Friday night.
Oh, what'd you think?
I forgot about that I'd played that one. It was a lot of fun. It's a simple, very simple game.
So this is great because you played Brewcrafters first. Did you get the same feeling?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The games are completely different. They're not – you know when I said Race for the Galaxy and Roll for the Galaxy are different games in the same world? Yeah. This is way even more different than that.
Yeah.
You're still – I don't even know how to describe it.
Because the card game is essentially alike. Set collection, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this one's like almost too simple for me.
But it allows you
– Brewcrafters?
Yeah, probably. That's fair. This game is absolutely it's a filler – might take a little too long to be a filler.
No, this is like a micro filler. So little thought that goes into this one. It's tough. It's tough for me.
I want to say there's a tiny bit of thought of what cards you play out onto your tableau of like the workers and equipment that are going to give you bonuses. Mm-hmm. So there's some strategy.
Yeah, you're right, but the decisions feel so inconsequential to me.
The fact that there's only so many cards. I
just don't care. Like, it just doesn't do a good job of making me.
And that's mad. Yeah, and that's where I agree of. It's not a difficult game by any stretch of the imagination. It's set collection at its like very basic thing where you can play some cards to give you bonus points or you don't need as many resources, but I think the game runs into the problem of it just has a bunch of the same cards.
Yeah.
So there's five of each card type thing.
And you can't double up, which we found out.
Right. You can't double up. So there's not very much variation in that game at all. Like, it's just a quick game, but not quick enough.
I think Diner's a much better game from them.
I think Diner is a great game.
It's in the same collection. They're called Rabbits.
Yeah, and I like that. And it's a filler. Diner's a filler, but it's very, like, action-packed.
Diner would also be a great travel game. I don't have that written down. I should have written down Diner.
Should have written down Diner.
Hey, but, you're up.
All right. So mine is definitely travel games. And whenever I think of travel, I think of going with my family or going with family in general. So these are games that I have actually played with my family and have been successful. So let's start off with the filler is Timeline. Timeline is the greatest entry to board games for anybody. I loved Timeline. Have you played Timeline yet?
I've never heard of Timeline.
Wow, we're playing Timeline after this podcast.
Apparently you think this game's so great and I've never heard of it.
That's insane. So Timeline is a really easy card game. You each have a hand of cards and you need to play them onto the main board. And as you play them, they're all events. And you don't know what year your event took place. And once you play them, you turn them over to see if their year happened either before or after the card you're playing them with. So what ends up happening by the end of the game, you have all these events out and you need to kind of play them in there. And it's just super cool. It's so much fun. The art's amazing. And it's this great mix of education and entertainment.
Ooh, education and entertainment. Education, dude, entertainment. You got the two E's right there.
Yeah, so we played E
squared.
Wow. Played this with RC for a long time. I have two of the sets. I've played them. I've literally played this with the Funkowitz grandparents, and they've loved it. I've played this with my mother-in-law. I've played this with RC. I've played this with everybody. Loved it. Manny Funkowitz loved it. He even bought a set for his daughter.
Oh, nice.
Our old boss, Manny Funkowitz. Okay, so then the next one, we'll just keep getting more difficult as we go up. The next one is Tier Off Tier, or Animal Upon Animal, which is this incredible stacking game in which you just stack animals on top of an alligator over and over again. And it seems so simple, but it's so much fun. Just the tactility of just touching these animals and getting them on top. You played this one.
Yeah, that was one of the first games we ever played.
Yeah.
Played with
you played this with RC, right?
Yeah, played with RC.
What are the travel scenarios in which you would like to play this game?
Okay, on so a train that's like shaking.
Okay, so right? Like in the middle of an earthquake. We took animal upon animal and timeline camping with us.
Perfect. That's awesome.
So I also have code names, but that probably falls into like a party gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like
when you go.
Well, this is like
back home for Christmas.
Okay. So every year we go over to the Wasmans, and it's the Funkowitz and the Wasmans. There's 30 of us, and we can play a crazy 15 team of code names.
Oh, that's
and we've played games where there's 10 of us on each team, which is always cool. Okay, so I have Monte Coro here, but we've talked about Monte Coro quite a bit. Let's just say that Monte Coro is easily the best game to play with your family in the world. Right. I also have Diamonds, which I think would be great, but I'm not going to talk too much about Diamonds. The last one I want to talk about, though, is Paperback. So Paperback I've played with my mother-in-law, with my sister-in-law. I've taken this one camping as well. Oh, Paperback is amazing. Paperback is great. It is a deck building game in which you are essentially playing Scrabble, but with deck building, which I think is way better than Scrabble Slam. Okay, so I'm getting called out here. We went to a cabin. We happened to be in the woods. It wasn't officially camping.
I literally ran through like as many scenarios as I could where you were somehow in the wilderness playing Paperback, and I couldn't do it.
You were on vacation in a cabin. You went to a cabin in the woods somewhere.
Yeah,
with Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Naturally.
Yeah, yeah, and Frank Kranz.
I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen Captain
Lewis. God
damn it.
I don't watch scary movies.
Either way, Paperback. Did I have this in my top 10? I actually deleted Paperback? I actually lost my top 10.
I have my torts book. I have it all written down in the margins.
If Paperback's not my top 10, it's in my top 11. It's so much fun, and I've literally played it with everybody. It's incredible. And
everybody?
Dude, everybody loves Paperback. We played it with my mother-in-law, and she had so much fun playing it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Like, when you can play a game with your mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
you know that that's a winner.
Yeah.
And like, and you're just there, and you're always like laughing. And of course, Z-Man won with like coming in the ass or nutting or something.
Nutting and taints.
Nutting and taints
was played.
Yeah, and he just. Of course, Z-Man's the one that took it to that spot.
He had the one where you could do multiple words.
I think greed could also work. I think run, fight, or die could work with the right community. But really, Paperback, animal upon animal, and timeline. Those are ones that I would probably take with me. Anytime I go on a sort of family trip, it would just work. And Monte Coro. But I've talked so much about Monte Coro.
Yeah.
It's just the best game that's ever been made.
Basically.
All right, so that's mine. How do you guys feel about Paperback as the travel game?
I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Good for a big group. Yeah, like your family.
Yeah, so we had, you know, we played with my 4 or 5 of us usually.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun. And like, same thing, I remember the time we played it with my family. We had like food in the center of the table. We all had drinks. I said Monte Coro. Twinsis is making sure that I mentioned Monte Coro again.
Isn't
that the thing we're talking about right now? Oh, we're talking about Paperback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
All right. The one house rule that I am okay with is in Monte Coro.
No. What's the house? Why? Who are you?
What's the house rule in Monte Coro?
Where's my Benz?
Oh, when somebody rolls a one and everybody yells, Monte Coro!
All right, so that's pretty much what we think of when we think of travel games. If any of you guys out there have anything else that you would like to
Monopoly,
suggest to Rico, life, he is traveling life. For quite a long time, and he's going all over the world, and he needs your suggestions. So where can they email us at?
DropTheDicePodcast@gmail.com.
And once again, you can follow us on Twitter @DiceDrop. Please tweet us any suggestions that you have. Rico is struggling to find something he should take. We didn't even get into Sushi Go or Love Letter.
Follow us on Instagram at I think we're Drop the Dice is the name of
Run the Instagram.
Drop the Dice. Don't put that evil on me. Drop the Dice on Instagram, Dice Drop on Twitter, DropTheDicePodcast@gmail.com, our website www.dropthedice.com. Hit us up on iTunes.
It's just two W's.
insert
www.dropthedowndice.com. Please don't go to dropthedowndice.com.
What's that?
It's horrific Asian porn.
Oh god. Please let this stay in.
No, this is not staying in. I'm not gonna be on a podcast to touch about porn.
We talked about fucking Johnny Depp's daughter.
I did not talk about this. Again, if anybody out there knows who I am and you're listening, go back to that podcast, the Rosenberg podcast. I didn't say a thing about this. I am completely...
Funny that you know what podcast it was talked on.
I know exactly what podcast. It was the first one I ever recorded with you guys.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys later. I'm sure Bus is about to come in right about now.
This is RC, and you're listening to Drop the Down Dice.
Hope you enjoy this episode of Drop the Dice. We'll see you next week.